This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, kid?
Nothing, how are you?
I'm great, man, no problems.
Good. Well, I'm great, you know?
Good.
What can I complain about?
You look good.
Thanks.
I like your shirt. It's got a buffalo on it or something.
Yeah, it's your buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good.
I thought you were confused.
Oh, it looks good.
I noticed I wear a lot of his stuff in the house. I've got hoodies and pants, and I'm like full on. Yeah. Yeah, so everything's good here. Nice weather. I went home last night and fell asleep at like 8 o'clock and slept until... like 9 o'clock this morning, so there's probably something wrong with me, but...
I mean, I felt bad for a while. I feel a little bit better today, but...
I also just
take, like, way too much cold medicine in the morning.
Yeah, I thought of you because I read something this morning about some guy who had pneumonia and didn't know he had pneumonia.
It could be me.
And he just kept taking over-the-counter cold medicine, and I was like, oh, yeah, didn't Laszlo say one of his kids got pneumonia or something?
Yeah.
What if he had it, and that this guy just kept taking it, kept going to work, and then just... dead.
What?
Yeah, dead.
Okay, I didn't need to hear that.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, man, I wonder, because we've both been talking about how we haven't... We kept thinking we're sick, but then we're like, oh, we must be better now.
I'm probably just killed. It probably will happen to me, because I found old antibiotics for a tooth thing.
Perfect.
I was like, just start taking those, too.
Yeah. Well, I got some old ones I can bring in, too.
Good. I'll see if I got any of
those. I start taking them.
Well, make a milkshake.
Yeah.
If they say you need all of them, but if we combine our forces...
I got amoxicillin, I think.
Okay.
I have, I don't know, some strong one. I looked it up. It was like, basically, like, don't take this.
Okay.
I think honestly, it was like, I forget what, clomidacin or something, and it was like, this stuff is for like a bad...
something, myosin?
Yeah.
Oh, clindamycin?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have tetracycline, I think, which isn't that pretty good stuff.
Okay, put all those together. You're good, man.
Exactly.
That's like a clean slate.
If nothing else, it'll clear your skin up. You don't really have problem skin, but
it'll just reset your entire body.
Yeah, you should feel,
that's a hard
like
reset.
A whole new man.
Yeah,
but yeah, just be careful with that over-the-counter stuff. I don't know. I mean, look, today is the 5-year anniversary of the pandemic, So 5 years ago today, they announced a global pandemic or whatever, that we were pandemic. So it feels like longer to me just because that whole period went by so slowly. But you and I have been saying ever since then that we think we have long COVID or something because we never after we got COVID.
I'll even give to people who are anti-vax their due. Something happened to me.
Something to me, too.
I don't know if it was the vax or the COVID. Right. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I listen to both sides, and I really don't care.
Me neither.
But I am dumber. I am dumber since the pandemic.
Absolutely 100%.
I don't think the same. I'm slower.
I have no recall.
No. My memory's shot.
It's terrible.
I don't know which one it is.
Constant
and
fatigue.
Neither one of you, the anti-vaxxers and the pro-vaxxers, are going to convince me that it's the other.
No.
I had them both. I had COVID and the vax. There's no way you can tell me. There's no way you can prove it.
If you put another vaccine in front of me that said this will fix it, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
So you got to put it in your neck.
But I also think I might be dumber afterwards.
Exactly. I don't know. The Church of Laszlo. So how do you think we'll do on this? This is the 10 behaviors, the 10 things women are supposed to look out for.
Yeah.
And
so
men,
if a guy acts like this, then run.
They're emotionally immature. They have not matured properly.
That's me.
And they will display these 10 behaviors without even realizing it. Yeah. And when they do, you should take note.
Mm.
You know, just one or two, they say, maybe something to work on. But if they display a lot of these behaviors, then you should probably
run. I like to hide them. Cover them up until you fall in love with me, then just let all 10 out.
Well, that's what my dad always said to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, don't let them know who you really are until you've moved in. Yeah,
right.
It's going to be difficult for them to get away from you. Don't raise your voice. Don't throw things across the room. No displays of aggression until it's difficult for them to get away.
Of course.
So that's just something that, of course, every guy's taught from a young age. I don't know if they still are about it.
How to swing a baseball bat.
Exactly. Go play catch. While you're playing catch, your dad tells you this stuff. So these are the 10 signs. You ready? Number one. I actually thought, you mentioned snow cone. I don't know if snow cone will have all of these or not. But the first one, I actually thought of him because I think he's more likely to have this than you or I. But I don't know what you're like when you're younger. I don't think you have it now. But you are preoccupied with the idea of someone cheating on you. I really think I'm the opposite of that.
Yeah, me too.
So that's the one. And I just led with that because I'm like, that's the one where I feel like I'm confident in saying I am not.
No.
I'm not checking phones, not because I just don't think it's right. That's part of it. But because I don't care. Because the truth is, I shouldn't say I don't care. I will care. But if you are cheating on me, the way I see it is, you're done with me anyway.
Yeah.
And I can only control what I do.
Well, I'm not sure I want to know because I'm happy.
Exactly. If I'm happy, then I just don't want to know anyway.
Yeah, so whatever.
Right. But
if you still come here, I don't know why you keep going here.
Yeah. But that feeling of like, I will be okay without
you. I'm so busy trying to cover up my cheating. I got no time to try to figure out if you're cheating.
Exactly.
I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. But Snow Cone, on the other hand,
I also assume you're covering it up the same way. So, I'm never going to catch you.
So just don't look at each other's phones. And, that seems suspicious. So let's not mention that again. But I know that Snow Cone does.
Yeah, you're preoccupied with women
someone cheating on you.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
No matter what, right? Like, even if they haven't given you any
sign.
Nope.
It's like you have an urge to look at phones. You have an urge to I'm not saying that you necessarily do it, but you'd like to take a look.
Do you bring it up too? Sure. Like, are you cheating on me?
I'm sure in
you must.
Subtle ways. Yeah. I mean, definitely have for sure.
And I tried
to tell
them.
No, and you're like, well,
yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's
man.
Been an ongoing thing for sure.
Now, I think I had it when I was like 18 or 19. My first love, my high school girlfriend, if she was cheating on me, when I thought that she was cheating on me, I was devastated. But you taught me, along with others, as I grew, like, hey, you put that concrete around your heart and you realize that you'll be okay without them. And I've told Snow Cone, like, you will be okay without this person.
Yeah.
And his response is always, hey, I'm not you and Laszlo, okay? You guys always say that. I'm like, it's not just me and Laszlo, though.
It's part every of growing human up. Being.
Yeah, you got to get to that point somehow.
Who's gotten through a relationship that went south
and
came out the other side.
Yeah, that one bad
breakup. Like 95% of them, I guess.
That's what I would think is like you go through that bad one, then you realize you recover, and then it's like, okay, I can survive this. I don't want it to end, necessarily.
Right.
I might be happy, like you said, and I don't want to find out. But if I do, I know I'll survive. That's it.
Of course.
The next one. Now we get into the good stuff.
Well, you just be in your car every once in a while and be like, hey, that's the one who got away. Oh, well.
Sure.
Right? That's
yep,
it.
Yep, absolutely. So here's the rest of the 10 signs of emotionally immature men. Number two, They deflect and try to blame others or put blame onto others. They say emotionally immature men may deflect and place blame on others instead of taking responsibility for their own actions. This might come from vulnerability or lack of self-awareness, this doctor says. I'm sure I do that.
No.
I'm sure I deflect.
I bet you don't. I don't either.
Really? Oh, come on. I'll bet I deflect.
Oh, I think deflecting is like, that's to me, and I know there's other terms for it, that's like, you know, if somebody, if you know you're doing something wrong, then you put it on them.
Like, keep saying, I'll bet you're cheating on me because
yeah,
I know
even
I'm
though you're
wrong.
Cheating, that's where Snowgones is always nervous about someone cheating because he's cheating. Like, it's right. So obvious. Like, people, you always cheat. I don't think you've ever been in a relationship where you didn't, did you?
No, that is definitely not true.
All right, how many of them? 50%?
No, I think I cheated on like one or
and
two.
And you just happened to get caught on that one on an iPad?
He got caught.
No, I'm saying, I think it was one more.
Not how many you've been caught.
Yeah, no.
But
I guess I wouldn't know if I deflect.
Like, I feel like if you're always, you know, worried about it, you're always talking about it, you're blaming something for somebody for something.
But when I
like
catch someone deflecting, a partner deflecting, I go, I think you're deflecting right now. It doesn't have to be about cheating. It can be
what
about other things. Then I go, just that I'm like, you're asking me about this because it's something that you are doing or something you're thinking about. I don't think about that. So, but I can usually tell that they don't know they're doing it. That's why I say I just assume that I probably do deflect. I don't know what exactly it is I'm worried about, but I'm sure I do it without realizing it. The next one I know I do. Raises his voice to get his point across. Yeah, of course I raise my voice to get my point across. But it doesn't. I don't start with that. If we're going back and forth and I'm staying very calm and it's not working, then yes, I do raise my voice out of frustration. And then, you know, I get told that I'm showing signs of being aggressive because I raised my voice. I'm not even always the first one to raise my voice. But yes, I raise my voice. Sometimes I will yell. I am not. I've never outgrown that. I don't see myself ever outgrowing that. Sometimes I will yell, but so I certainly raise my voice.
Sure. You hit inanimate objects.
I throw stuff sometimes. Yeah. Not like at you. I never try to do it as a sign of intimidation, but I've been told that it could come off that way.
Oh, yeah.
And that you're not supposed to do it. I always thought as long as I'm just kicking a cabinet or breaking an Xbox controller,
yeah, me too.
It's fine because I'm taking it out on something else. And I'm in no way trying to make it look like I'm coming after you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. So the next one is he has difficulty taking criticism. I'm sure I have difficulty taking criticism. I actually don't even want to hear it. I have so much difficulty taking it that I don't want to hear it. If you've got criticism for me as my partner, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing.
I don't want to hear it.
Why are you criticizing me?
Right. I don't criticize you for lots of things that I'd like to.
Right.
You know?
Why,
I don't want you to criticize me.
I didn't ask you for constructive criticism. You're not my teacher.
Yep, and I never will.
You're not my father.
I'll never ask for it.
You're not my coach.
Yep.
Why are you criticizing me?
And I know therapists may say you should do it. I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to ask you, hey, what are some things you don't like about me? What are some things that you like?
What are some things I could do better?
Yeah. What are some things that people say behind my back that you often hear people say about
me?
Why
are you criticizing? Just stop.
No.
There's no need for you to criticize me.
Yep. He justifies poor behavior by using past events and perceived slights. So they say, does your partner use past events to justify their current poor behavior? This is a sign of being emotionally immature. Someone who cannot let go of the past or is holding on to real or imagined slights of the past is not emotionally mature enough to be in a relationship. So if you say, if you're bringing up something
that
you're supposed to
do. Exactly. Yeah, I don't do that.
Remember when you had crabs and we don't know where it came from?
Right. I like to keep our arguments on point.
And I don't like when people do it to me.
No.
I'll say, look, if we can't get past this, if you're still hung up on this,
if we're still bringing this up a year later, then whatever.
Then you're
still on it, so whatever. Yeah. You got
to
leave.
Then we need to be done, because you're obviously not over.
I mean, it's my house, but we both can't be here. You stay for a while, whatever, but one of us has got to leave.
Number six has a tough time with emotional conversations. Every guy has a tough time with emotional conversations. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Maybe Snowcone doesn't. Snowcone likes to talk. He really likes to hash it out. That's something I've noticed. He'll tell me, you know, like when he's dating someone, well, you know, I told her I just would like to sit down and talk about this, try to work through it. I'm like, wait, what? Why would you want to talk about it more? But I think he does like to talk about it.
Yeah, that's definitely my style, I guess.
And because you're kind of a nervous, anxious partner anyway, you're kind of anxious that maybe they don't like you anymore, that they're cheating on you or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I think that motivates you to want to talk even more.
Yeah.
I need you to constantly reassure me that this
constant
is so. Please, let's sit down and talk about this.
Yeah,
and it's
constant
just,
reassurance.
It's tough. I don't know how you get past that.
Yeah, I imagine it's annoying as hell for him.
Yeah, because I don't want to have emotional conversations.
No.
At all.
No.
But, like, at all. If I come home and you say,
I don't really want to have conversations, but if we have to,
I don't want to
talk about it as surface level as we can.
What are your theories about severance? We're fine.
Right.
But when you say we really need to talk about something,
and if you want to talk about, you know, I'm not opposed to deeper subjects and learning about each other and that kind of stuff. But if you're like, you know, well, how did your father's death make you feel? Like,
do you think you processed that?
Yeah.
I don't think this is it. Sorry, leave me alone.
We don't have to have that.
Number seven, triggered by perceived emotional distance. If someone someone who's emotionally immature, if they perceive that there might be emotional distance going on with their partner, they may become triggered, which, you know, I still love
that
word. This can include physical distance. So they say going on a trip without your partner should be allowed and even celebrated, this doctor says. A desire for constant contact or checking in only means there is insecurity that is yet to be overcome.
Yeah.
I do not have that desire. I have the opposite problem, and I usually get a, you know, that's something that I have to work on, is I don't check in, I don't call enough. If we're apart, if you're gonna leave for the weekend for work or whatever, which is something that happens in my relationship a lot, I sometimes am criticized for not reaching out first ever. For I can go the whole weekend and be like, that's, we're fine, you know. I mean, I might text, but I've been criticized that I don't check in enough. So I don't, the emotional distance thing doesn't bother me. As long as I'm confident in my relationship, which I guess the last couple, for most of them at least, I was confident enough that I wasn't anxious about emotional distance.
Right.
So I don't know. That doesn't seem like something that you would worry about. Number eight is a big one for me. Acts on emotion without thinking.
I mean, let me take that back. I don't know what that emotional distance means.
If you feel like you're not.
Right, but that could be like, if I come home and you're silent, and I say, what's wrong, and you say nothing, then that bugs me.
I wondered that, too, the passive, but he literally uses the example of going on a trip.
Right.
Without you.
Physical distance. Yeah. I would say emotional distance is that, you know, nothing, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Well, that bothers me.
He says a desire
You know, hey, if we're both just going to pretend like everything's fine, you got to act better.
Exactly.
Not like as a better person. You got to, you know, put on an Academy Award show here.
You're not actually
pretending. Because what you're doing right now is letting me know that you're not fine by not saying that you're not fine.
Yep. That's
and you're doing it on purpose. When you roll your eyes, you huff and puff and say everything's fine, everyone in the world knows everything's not fine.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to talk about it, then smile when you say it.
Yep. And,
won't get this from me.
Exactly. Eight, acts on emotions without thinking. Of course, absolutely. You know, impulsive, basically. I can definitely be impulsive. I think a lot of guys can be impulsive.
Sure.
I mean, I once bought a car for my ex-wife.
Yeah, that was nice of you.
Without telling her. I just went up to her work and said, got you a new car. And she didn't ask for it. It's not something she'd been looking at. So, yeah, I can be impulsive. Number nine, leaves confrontations before reaching a resolution. 100%, the biggest one for me is this one. I like to leave before we've reached a resolution. If there's a problem, I would like to walk away from it. I would like to go cool off. I'd like to go get in the car and drive away from you physically. I'd like to be physically and emotionally distant from you until we're cooled off. So, and I get criticized for that a lot.
I'd like to go to sleep.
Me too, or go to bed. I've tried that, but then they're still there.
Yeah.
So they're still coming and saying, no, we're going to talk about this. So, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get in my car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that doesn't usually, for
I
most
think
women,
that's a bad
work.
Thing that we learned. No, look, I mean, this is coming from two divorced guys, so whatever.
Yeah.
But I think a bad, but maybe part of it is because we did what we thought we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, never go to bed angry. Finish it out. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, you don't have to finish everything tonight.
No.
It is okay to be like, yo, I'm way pissed off, way more pissed off than I think I should be. I'm going to go for a ride before this gets out of control, because if we settle this now,
I could be impulsive.
Right. And it may not be what we both want in the end.
Absolutely.
Because if we settle it now, if we don't settle it now, there's a 100% chance I'm going to get my car and drive around. Maybe go talk to my friend, have a beer, smoke some cigarettes. You're going to go to sleep. I'm going to go to bed and we'll figure it out later. But if we hash this out right now and take as long as it is, when I leave, there's a 100% chance I ain't coming back.
Yep.
So let's just take time to breathe. Let it go. Like, not everything has to be settled tonight.
I've never understood why it's not not only not allowed, but not encouraged. Because my thought is, wait till we've calmed down. If we still feel this way in an hour, then we know. But I don't think we will. So let's calm down
first.
And
I don't think an hour's enough.
No, I don't think it is either.
Not
but you
to
get
clear
my
your
point.
Head. Because, right, you know, clear your
let's
head.
Let's get apart.
Because even if I go away for 2 hours, I come back and you say that one thing.
Yeah.
Blah, now it's back again, right? So, yeah. Like, just go clear your head.
Yep. And number 10, finally, the guy who's emotionally mature will seek constant validation.
Hey, what's up?
According to this doctor, emotionally immature individuals seek constant validation from others and rely heavily on approval from their partner. They become upset if they don't receive praise regularly or validation. This could be due to low self-esteem and an underdeveloped sense of self. So, watch out for that one.
I want to say praise, but the validation for sure.
What does that even mean?
Letting you know I like you.
Reassurance.
Yeah, but like, I know, but like, I will say that one time, after I got divorced, we went to this counselor.
Yeah.
And at what none of that worked. It was crazy. But I do remember this time where we were, like, we're divorced, and we're talking about our feelings. I guess maybe how to be, you know, friends or co-parent. I don't know. But we had to go because of the court. And we're sitting there, and my ex-wife is, you know, she's mad about something, probably rightfully so. Like, I don't remember what it was. Obviously, you know, there you go. Bad husband right there. I don't even know what she's bitching about, right?
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard a word, right? And the counselor says to me, see, now, what she's looking for there is validation.
Yeah, what year was that?
And like, I'm like...
2016, something like that? That's when I started hearing that word a lot.
And I'm like, we're not married. Someone else needs to validate her because it's not... There was at one point I was supposed to do it, and apparently I didn't. So why am I going to do it? Why, if I couldn't do it in marriage, why am I doing it in divorce? And I remember thinking, too, at the time, like, what is validation? Like, what am I supposed to say to validate her?
Yeah.
I hear you.
You're right, I am
a
dick.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
What is validation?
I still don't understand.
So my thing is, like, when you say you need validation, what me and you are in a relationship, and you're saying something, what does that mean? Do you just want me to hear you? Do you want me to agree with you?
He wants you to reassure him and let him know that you're in love with him and that you're not cheating on him.
Yep. No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But the conversation's not about love or cheating.
It will become one because he gets anxious.
The church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo! The news. Well, you guys, are you worried about the stock market? I mean, you know, I keep hearing all this stuff about the stock market plunging. It's down 10% or whatever. It means that there's going to be a recession. You know, I don't know. That stuff is. I'm not an investor in the sense that I do have a 401k, but I don't tell them to buy or sell anything. They do it for me, right? Just like here's some money. Please try and make me some money back if you can. So when they start talking about recessions, that to me is so big where I go, I have absolutely no control over that. Like, I can get anxious about a war. You know me.
Yeah, sure.
If Russia and Ukraine war, I'm like, oh, God, I hope this doesn't get worse. I hope that, what if somebody nukes somebody? But when they talk about recessions, I'm like, there's just nothing. And I feel like there's going to be recessions in my lifetime. You know, we had the big one in 08, 09. I don't know what year was worse. But, you know, and we were lucky enough to keep our jobs during that time. But also, you just learn, kind of like with a bad relationship, it's something that happens. In an economy, in a capitalistic country, they try to prevent it. But I know it's going to happen again, and it might really suck for me this time. It might suck. I don't know. But there's nothing I can do about
it. Investors are bracing for what could be another tumultuous day on Wall Street after what was the worst day for stocks in 2025. The S&P 500 falling 2.7% and the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite falling by 4%. But zooming out, since inauguration, the picture looks even worse, with the S&P 500 having lost more than 6% and the NASDAQ losing over 10% over that period of time. We heard from the likes of Delta saying just yesterday that they're concerned that consumers could pull back on travel spending.
Okay, so you know they always talk about like the afraid that things are happening on C Street could hit Main Street. And then they go to the Delta thing. My immediate thought is, I already don't fly because it's too expensive. That's the other thing. You know what I mean? I don't know what percentage of middle class you got to be in or whatever, but I feel like there's a lot of that stuff that I think I speak for all of us. You know, we kind of live paycheck to paycheck, right?
Of course.
And there's not a bunch of extra money. I think that people who do make more, especially that top 10% that they say, you know, I saw something the other day.
The top 10% is responsible for 80%. For flying, that's the problem.
Absolutely.
I think people have rethought it. Even people who can afford it are like, you know, is there any way we can drive? Just because it is expensive.
And it sucks.
And it sucks. Like, at some point, it was expensive and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, and yeah, you get there faster, but it's expensive and sucks. And
it's a whole day at the airport.
Now, you do have a monopoly on getting me somewhere quick.
Yeah.
Or overseas,
so that's awesome,
for the most part. Yeah.
But expensive and sucks is not what you want.
Yeah. No.
You don't. But you do have the gift of, like, you know, yeah, if I got to get to Florida, I mean, you'll drive, but I will fly to Florida.
I will sometimes.
That's too far.
Because it is far.
But if I could, like, you know, keep it within 8-9 hours.
But the thing about flying is, I know.
Sucks.
That even if I'm going a short distance, like Vegas or Dallas or something, the airport day is basically a whole day.
Oh,
no matter
yeah.
how short the flight itself is, you got to get there early. You got to go through security. You got to make sure you got
That's
all
what
your
I'm saying.
Stuff.
It's easier to drive 8-9 hours than it is to fly 3.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's why when it comes to places like Dallas and even Vegas, I start to rethink of Colorado I drive to.
Right.
That's become like a road trip destination for us. You get there in a day. Mm-hmm. And we do sometimes drive to Florida, which means 4 days of
yeah,
our
tough.
Vacation is in the car. It sucks, and on the way back, usually by the time I get to St. Louis on the way back, I think I'm never doing this again.
Right.
But then the next time we're going to go for Thanksgiving, right. I look at prices and everything else, and I go, yeah, we're renting a Nissan Altima for right. sure, and we're just going to drive down there. So, yeah, the White House has been going back and forth about this recession thing. Yesterday, I played you clips of Trump saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going to rule out a recession. I don't want to predict stuff like that. Meanwhile, other people in his administration have said, oh, no, we'll be fine. But Elon Musk, who's been a big part of his administration. Is that fair to say? I don't know if he's... does he have an official title of any type? I mean, he's head of this Doge thing.
Yeah,
but
I think he's just the head of Doge.
It's not like a,
I think he's
it's not like a cabinet
I think
member
he's
or something.
Considered
that,
advisor.
It's not a position
yeah.
that was... that's a known position that
I've
he
heard
filled.
Him called advisor.
Okay. And he's been obviously doing a lot of other things. Well, his stock, personally, his Tesla stock has been hurting. Laszlo mentioned earlier that Trump says he's going to buy a Tesla mm-hmm. to help Elon's stock, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he could buy a couple of them. But he has helped you out a lot. And if that's the reason that his stock is hurting, like, is it hurting because the liberals who used to buy these cars now don't like Elon? I think that's the basic thought, right? And that's why a lot of shareholders apparently are discussing whether or not they could get Elon out as the CEO.
Wall Street analysts blaming the slide on President Trump's trade war and increasing fears of a possible recession. His top economic advisor on Monday morning downplaying concerns.
But for sure, this quarter, there are some blips in the data.
One of the stocks suffering most, Elon Musk's Tesla. Musk asked yesterday about managing the president's cost-cutting efforts along with his businesses.
How are you running your other businesses?
With great difficulty.
Okay, let me ask you something. So is Tesla really in trouble because liberals don't want to buy Tesla as much because they don't like Elon? I know they say that's the risk of having such a public CEO. I would just think that if you want an EV and you want a Tesla because you like their charging system, it's by far superior.
I thought it's always been.
Wouldn't you still buy it? Because every company you go to has someone
wouldn't.
Bad at the top that you probably don't like.
You wouldn't.
No?
No, because I think, you know, until this kind of unholy marriage between Elon and Trump, EVs, you know, Trump would just say Tesla, that it sucks and electric cars suck, and mm-hmm. right? He was all about that. Then they became friends. But the left were the ones in droves buying Teslas.
Yeah.
Right? And then he basically turned on them, turned heel on them. And I think, yeah, no, I don't think that, I don't think those leftists who were buying Teslas before and wanting to, you know, get off of big oil are all of a sudden like, you know what, I don't care if Elon Musk's a dick, I'm going to buy the Tesla. I just don't see it. I don't.
I
think he's lost
a giant amount of his
initial buying public. And the problem is, if there is a problem, I don't know, the problem would be that I don't see a lot of right-wing conservative people running to buy a
Tesla.
That's
what we wondered would happen. Would,
right.
because Elon was going to
be
in charge.
Like, we love EVs. I don't see it.
Would Elon try and stop some of this money that big oil puts into the media to try and, you know, make EVs look bad and all the things that we know that they do? Would that switch a little bit? Would you have some liberals who go, well, now I don't. I'll just get a Bolt or whatever.
Yeah.
And would you have some conservatives that make up that and go, you know, I like Elon. I'll get a Cybertruck or a,
right.
you know, Model 3, whatever. I don't know that those conservatives have filled those vacancies.
But I think conservatives are buying the Cybertruck. I think you make it, but you know, it's yet there's not enough, of them.
And I guess I'm maybe saying personally, if I wanted a Tesla, if I'd been wanting a Tesla, really, Elon can't. There's not much he can do that would keep me from going to buy the Tesla. Personally, I know other people would.
Yeah,
but I just think, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to some other corporation. What am I going to look in just because their CEO isn't a celebrity?
Yeah,
I'm going to find out what they're doing.
That's how the world works.
I'm not going to look into
what
they're doing.
He's made it obvious, and he goes out and he says, you know, if you're a leftist, hurtful things about people and things that you care about.
Right.
So yeah, I probably I don't know what a lot of CEOs do, but when you make it obvious that I'm your enemy, then I'm not going to buy your product.
And that's why shareholders don't like it.
Right.
But at the same time, they can't deny that he's done a lot to make that stock as massive as it was.
Sure.
It's not like they were outselling any of these other car companies, yet their stock was worth a damn fortune. So you got to take the good with the bad, as they say, and now, you know, you're upset that you pissed off liberals. I'm saying personally, I guess I'm asking you guys personally, if you were interested in a Tesla, would you not buy one now because you don't like Elon? Would it stop you from buying? Like, if you really had, if you really were interested in a whatever, a Model X or a Cybertruck or whatever, would you personally right now go, man, I hate Elon. I don't want to be associated with Elon by buying this. You would.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it.
Well, you know, I guess
I don't
want to
help him do what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, Trump's going to buy one for you, so I don't know. Maybe he could buy more than one. Seems like that might help. Sunko, you mentioned earlier that there's peace talks today for Ukraine and Russia. Now, they had the big Oval Office fiasco, and they haven't really had talks since then. This time, they're sending Marco Rubio, or they sent Marco Rubio, and Zelensky, but they're going to Saudi Arabia, so Saudi Arabia is going to be the intermediary, and the crown, what's his name, the prince, the king?
Yeah.
Isn't he called the prince?
The crown prince.
The crown prince, okay. He was going to be like the main delegate there, welcoming them, and then he would talk to each of them individually, which I thought, wait, are they worried that Rubio and Zelensky are going to get into a screaming match, or is this just how these things normally work? But you see the crown prince there welcoming both parties and then taking them to have talks.
A massive drone strike on Moscow this morning, leaving a trail of destruction in residential areas. Ukraine's largest ever on Moscow, after escalating Russian attacks inside Ukraine, continuing overnight, even as President Trump pushes for peace. US and Ukrainian delegations locked in negotiations in Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Crown Prince helping mediate, hosting President Zelensky on Monday, and separately Secretary Rubio.
So the day that they have these peace talks, Ukraine is drone attacking Moscow. Which I know, Sokan, you said you'd read about that. The thing that I saw said that Ukraine is sending a message that the only talks that they're able to have directly with Russia right now are violence, is violence, whatever, is these acts of war, because they've not made any progress. So they say it was symbolic that they were doing it on the day that they have these peace negotiations. I don't know. I don't know much about Rubio. I know he wants to end the daylight savings clock change and stuff. I've heard that he's got a little wiener. Yeah, I know that he wears those weird boots. He wears boots.
And he wears heels because he's short.
Yeah, he wears those boots.
He's got a little wiener, and he's short.
Aren't they like those, like, Italian loafers, like something a guy in a band would wear?
Yeah,
and he wears them with the suits. Just looks a little weird. Other than that, though, I'm all for getting rid of the clock change stuff. So, you know, I don't know much else about him.
I really don't know anything about Marco Rubio, whether he's a good dude,
I'm rooting for him,
a good politician or not. I know he ran against Trump, and Trump said he had a small wiener.
Yeah.
And he had little hands.
Yep. And I've seen
Rubio
his name
tried
pop
to
up.
Say Trump had a small wiener, and Trump said, there is no problem down
there.
I'll
show you right now.
Right.
He was about to.
Yeah.
I mean, and if we kept doing this, if we, you know, if he was allowed to serve more terms and wasn't getting older, I think eventually he'd take it out. If he needed to.
It wouldn't come from a literal measuring contest.
Absolutely.
Rubio, I will say this. Trump
would
was
affect
not
my
afraid
vote.
To pull out his wiener.
No.
And Rubio did not want to.
No, he didn't.
Once they got on that argument, Rubio was like, you win.
Yeah. So I don't know if he pulled it out today in Saudi Arabia.
I'm going to take my small over here and be an ambassador.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo! All right. I feel like this should be done after this.
Okay.
But the Menendez brothers in the news again. Because that new DA, he'd already come out and said, I don't think they deserve a new trial order. I thought that was the end of it. And the supporters were upset. But now he's like, I guess, officially said, I reviewed everything. He doesn't believe them. It's part of it. Sounds like this DA, the new DA, doesn't think that Netflix series was all that realistic.
Compelling. Okay.
And he says, they're not going to get it. But at the end of all this, he's doing these interviews, and there's a caveat. He does give them an opening, which I thought was interesting.
Our position is that they shouldn't get out of jail.
Los Angeles District Attorney Nathan Hochman withdrawing his predecessor's recommendation that Eric and Lyle should be resentenced and released.
They do not meet the standards for resentencing.
The DA adding he'll only reconsider his decision if the brothers apologize for what he says has been a litany of lies.
If they go ahead and sincerely and unequivocally, for the first time in 30 years, lay out that they have now lied on their entire defense and finally admit that they killed their parents in cold blood, then that will be a new insight that the court should then consider.
Okay, so he'll consider a new hearing if they sincerely apologize for all the lies they've told over the last 30 years and admit that they killed their parents in cold blood. Would you do it?
Well, it sounds like a trap.
Right. Say that you're the Menendez brothers, and let's just assume, let's say that you and I are the Menendez brothers, and we killed our parents out of cold blood. They weren't molesting us. And then we get in trouble, and we start changing our story, and we can't seem to keep a cohesive thing going. But eventually, we get to this point where we're both on the same track, and we've got the story about how Dad molested us, and we did it as self-defense. And you stick with that. So much so that Netflix does a series depicting that story. Then you get all these supporters, and now the DA is talking about getting you a new trial, getting you out of prison. That DA gets voted out. Long comes the new guy riding into town, and he says, no, I'm not going to let you out unless you apologize for all the lies you told and admit you did it in cold blood. I mean, at this point, do you really have any other option? Do you wait for the next DA? You've already been in prison for 30 years. Or do you just come out and say, we're sorry for the lies we've told? I can't imagine that they would. I can't imagine that they would say we killed our parents in cold blood.
They're like, well, okay, if that's what you're saying.
If there was some sort of guarantee that it would get them out of prison, then they should say it.
Because I can't imagine with a new... You're not going to get out with this DA anyway.
Doesn't sound like it.
And so if you say this, then he's like, well, maybe I would. So you say it, and if there's a new DA, then I think it'd be pretty easy for a lawyer to be like, well, they said that because dude said it's the only way he'd listen to him.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Sounds to me like they, well, this guy doesn't sound like he wants to do it, but remember with the West Memphis?
Mm-hmm. Three?
Three, yeah. They just did that Alford plea?
Yes.
I mean, didn't you do that?
Well, it sounds like he's saying you couldn't. It sounds like he's saying you have to admit it. You have to sincerely apologize and admit that you killed him in cold blood.
Right.
Whereas the Alford plea says, I'm not admitting that I did anything, but I know you have evidence that makes it look like I did.
But if it went to trial, I could be found guilty.
Because of the evidence that you have. So, but I'm not admitting to it. And this guy is specifically saying you have to admit to it. And you have to sincerely apologize and admit to it. I'm with you. I think it could be a trap. Unless they get it in writing somewhere that says, if you do this, you'll get a new trial.
Right.
And their lawyer says, if you get that new trial, we are extremely confident you will be released.
Then well, would you be really extremely confident you'd be released after I just said that I did it in cold blood? I've been lying?
Right. Then is that admissible in this new trial?
Right, because of course.
That's big
evidence. That's where they'd want you to admit it.
Right. But if they're saying that they served enough time, which I just don't see. People get life sentences without parole for murder all the time. Now, sometimes they get 10 years, too. And these guys were young, but is the court going to say they served enough time?
Yeah, I don't think you'd have to get a new trial.
Well, new, whatever they keep calling it.
I think it'd just be a new sentencing from a judge.
Yes.
And I'm guessing the DA could recommend that, hey, after all this, they can, I recommend that they get out early, then the judge can do what he wants with it.
And that's what the last DA was saying he was willing to do.
Right.
And now the new DA said, no, these guys are liars.
But if they admit they're lying, and it's on record in court...
It's just crazy that a Netflix drama
in and of himself could be like, yeah, well, then they can stay. They just said they were lying. Seems risky.
And I don't know.
Seems risky, but I go ahead and do it.
Can a prosecutor talk to a judge before a hearing like that and say,
I don't know. I'm sure they can.
What do you think?
I mean, what are the other options at this point?
Well, maybe you wait for the next DA.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
I really don't know.
Only move, right?
Well, maybe keep putting pressure on him.
See what they're, you know, they have that lawyer that
we like. Guy's got to keep talking about it.
Don't you worry that if you hold out that this offer's going to go away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, of course.
But is this a real
but
offer?
Also, is it like, you know, can you keep doing Netflix stuff? Can you, your lawyers keep getting you?
Yeah.
So, you know, two guys in Kansas City talk about it. Like,
yeah,
that would be the thing. Can we put enough pressure on him that at some point he's got to buckle?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already, I mean, he could have just said no.
It's a tightrope to walk.
Yeah, but it's also a tightrope to walk to say you did it.
For sure. No, for sure. I get the skepticism, absolutely.
Right. I don't know.
I wonder what their old, that celebrity lawyer says about it. I see him on TV a lot, and we like that guy. I can't think of his name right now. But I'd be interested what a lawyer who's actually knowledgeable about the details of this whole thing. Because as someone sitting in Kansas City, it's just crazy to me that this is sparked by a drama on Netflix. It's like you put it on the big screen, even though it's actors, and enough people go, well, that must be, it says based on a true story.
Serial and the podcast, you know, that was a big deal.
Well, making even documentaries, Making a Murderer, we found out later, oops.
Yeah, that Bone totally misled podcast you. That Jason Flum did, that guy ended up getting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, you know it can have an impact. I guess we've known that documentaries can have that impact for a long time. I was a little surprised by the impact this drama with these actors had. But also, it just goes to show the power of Netflix. Netflix puts up a series out of the blue, and now this has been the talk of the country.
I'm guessing the lawyers would work this out beforehand.
That's what I'm wondering. If they would figure it out before they say this is what you're going
to
do.
You want to say this, and what's the deal? What are you going to do for it?
Well, you recommend that they are paroled, you know? And if they say yes, then your lawyer goes, okay. That missing college student in the Dominican, I don't know if you've seen her. Have you seen the stories about her?
Because if they said that, then it would be really easy to then get out.
Right. Then
they
do
probably
it.
Have something written in there that you couldn't go back on that word either.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be on parole or something. So they're like, you know, if you tell the media that you didn't, you were lying, then you'll be put back in. So, right. They can put whatever they want in there.
Yeah. But I wouldn't care if I'm one of those brothers. Like, once I'm out on parole, I don't really need to talk to the media that much.
Unless you didn't do it. You know what I mean? Unless what you're telling, I mean, unless the story that you're telling is true.
Yeah.
Then you would want that story, and then, you know, it does kind of suck, like, that's what happened. I'm not saying it did or didn't, but it does kind of suck, like, that's what happened, and now I have to admit.
Yeah, it's, like you said, kind of like stuff. An alpha plea where you feel like, I still look kind of guilty, and I'm not guilty. The search for this missing college student in the Dominican, she's from, I think, did they say she was going to, like, Pittsburgh University or something? Anyhow, Sadiksha Kananki, I think is her name.
Nailed it.
I've been practicing, but, she was in the Dominican with friends, spring break. She goes out on the beach, and she disappears. And the search has been going on a couple of days now, and it's really expanded now. They're going through all the video stuff. You know, these days, someone goes missing. What the cops have to start doing is piecing together every single piece of footage they can and follow her, because they know that, you know, the original thing was like, oh, she was in a brown swimsuit walking on the beach, then we never saw her again. Well, now they're going through that arduous process of looking at all that video.
This morning, the search for Sudiksha Kunanki expanding. Almost 1 week after the University of Pittsburgh student vanished in the Dominican Republic. The country's national police say surveillance video is now getting an expanded review as investigators try to retrace the 20-year-old's steps.
She went to the beach with several people, okay, and she did not come back.
Okay. I mean, I think this kind of goes without saying. Your kid goes on spring break or whatever, and something happens. You know, they get killed. Maybe they're in an accident and they get killed. Maybe they get murdered. I mean, losing a child. I think most people would agree there's nothing worse, probably, about, like, what's the worst thing that can happen in life? Well, you outlive your children. I think that would be a pretty universally agreed. I don't even have kids, and I understand that that's probably the worst thing that can happen. But your kid goes missing. There is something extra painful about that, because now you don't know, and you're going to, how do you sleep at night?
You can't,
because you're anytime you try and lay down to get rest, you're thinking, this is time I could be looking for her.
Right. I don't know how you do it.
I'm,
and you're like, what
parent.
If she's being tortured somewhere?
Exactly. She's, what if she's crying my name out somewhere?
Right.
And I'm
taking
this bed.
A nap. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to do it.
I think that's got to be probably
unbelievable.
The worst thing. I mean, just about the worst thing. Not knowing, and then that search. And the longer the search goes on, eventually, as a parent, you have to go, okay, they're probably not alive.
Right.
But you also are aware of past stories that got national attention where the person was found. You know, Elizabeth Smart, right? Stuff like that. And you go, oh, I don't know. Maybe she is still alive. So even though you hear these parents say, I kind of had tried to come to terms with the fact that she wasn't coming back or he wasn't coming back, you see that when the actual news gets to them, even if it's a year or two later, yeah. that they're devastated, which is proof that there was still some sliver
of course
of hope that they might come back. You can't lose that, and you can't, like we said, stop searching. Just the worst. And then finally, TikTok. I know your kids have TikTok. I don't know if you do any like monitoring of their TikTok use. I know that there's been features that are available for parents to use. Well, now they're rolling out new features, Laszlo. I think it's the same part of the app that you would go into before to monitor your kids on TikTok. But now you can do a lot more monitoring, including setting times where TikTok isn't allowed. So if you're afraid your kid is using TikTok while they're at school, mm-hmm. you can turn it on and say, hey, they can't use TikTok from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. or whatever.
TikTok is wildly popular with kids. Now, you have to be 13 to join. So when I say kids, I mean 13 and up. But that still raises concerns for parents around access and safety. So now the platform is making changes with parents in mind and geared toward what a building, what TikTok is calling balanced digital habits. So the biggest one is called time away. And it specifically now gives parents a way to block kids and teens being on TikTok at certain times. Now, that'll vary from family to family. Maybe it's during the school day, of course, you don't want your kids on TikTok, or in the evenings during family
time. Do you monitor your kids' TikTok use at all? The way they were talking this morning, some of these features already existed, and they're just expanding it. But, you know, there's so many people using TikTok. And, of course, the other big story about TikTok is that, remember, someone's supposed to buy it. I don't know if you've seen any of this news about the people who have made offers to buy TikTok. There's four real offers to buy TikTok, and Trump says it's my decision who gets it.
The president seems optimistic, saying he's working with multiple bidders.
Do you think there's going to be a deal on TikTok soon?
It could be. We're dealing with four different groups, and a lot of people want it, and it's up to me.
Okay, so
why is it up to him?
I don't know. I really don't get it. Well, presidents have got a lot of power in our lifetime, haven't they? Like with the executive orders.
Who's going to buy a business?
Yeah, it's crazy. They're kind of like kings at this point.
Man.
It'd
be nice to have that juice, because if I knew who I was going to give it to, I could buy that stock.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't be bad. Absolutely.
Well, the reason I brought it
what
to you...
What about if I... I'm not saying this is happening, but what about if I like put in a bunch of tariffs because I knew the stock market would crash, and then I let me and all my rich buddies buy stock?
Look at Laszlo over here becoming a conspiracy theorist.
And then...
Right in front of her eyes.
Rescinded the tariffs, and then we all got rich.
Wow.
That'd be sweet.
Look at that, Laszlo. Well, these four buyers,
come on, don't be
some
crazy.
Of them are some of them are groups. One's
I'm
that,
just a cynical prick.
One of the guys is that Reed Reisner guy. I don't know much about him. They've all made different offers well in the billions, 30, 40 billion. But a couple of interesting people are involved. One of the offers is from, I don't really know who this guy is, but the guy who's partnering with him is Mr. Beast. So Mr. Beast is one of the people offering to buy TikTok.
Well, I did see
and the founder of Reddit is one of the other guys.
I did see him tweet that a month ago.
I didn't know he was involved at all, really.
I saw him tweet and just said, all he did was tweet and just said, fine, I'll buy TikTok.
Okay.
I was like, that is pretty cool.
That dude is amazing.
The Church of Laszlo. Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so I saw this morning and I just thought, well, I don't know how we can skip this. I mean, it's not really like national news or anything, so, you know, it doesn't need to be in doom scrolling. But it was, I think, local news down in Houston. Do you know anybody who's in the funeral business, like embalmer, mortician, anything?
No.
I met one. I just thought it was interesting. She like went to school for it. I think her grandpa did it or something. There's some sort of family connection. But that's what she went to school for.
To be a mortician?
Yeah, and she moved to Kansas City.
Mortuary sciences?
I don't know what they call it. But she moved to Kansas City to become a mortician. And I think maybe... I don't know if she's planning on starting her own business or what, but she was talking about how the industry's kind of been in decline because everybody now gets
cremated.
And I thought, you know, when I was a kid, cremation was definitely rarer, right? And I had uncles and family members that would die. We always went and saw them in the casket, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they might look a little weird or whatever, but you did get to go say goodbye to them. And now everybody gets cremated. My dad got cremated. And there was part of me that was like, you know, I know this is stupid, but I thought if my dad wasn't cremated, would I go visit him at the cemetery more often? Like, you know, there's some sort of goodbye connection, knowing that he's actually there. I don't feel like when I saw those ashes, I'm not even confident that they're his.
Right, sure, right.
And so I go, I don't even know if he's at that cemetery. Yeah. And I have no connection to that cemetery with him. I'd never seen it until after he died.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you. Like,
The visiting the body or the cremation would make a difference.
Yeah, I don't either. But
as
I do.
Whether I would go visit more if I thought his full body was down there, I don't know.
Do you think it's
good? It wouldn't make a difference.
Do you think it makes a difference insofar as the funeral and saying goodbye to someone? Kind of seeing them. You hear that they're dead. Like the doctor at the hospital tells you, or someone alerts you that you had a family member die. To see them that final time, part of me now is kind of like, I understand why we did that. I used to say, why doesn't everybody get cremated? This is so stupid.
Right. But
part of me now is like, I kind of like the idea of seeing the body, and then you can cremate him to save space and all that. But you have a funeral. People get to see him. You don't care about that. Not into it.
I didn't. My dad was cremated. And, ashes, his urn, and then,
you go to the military cemetery.
And, right. But then after that, my mom saved half the ashes for a while. Okay. And then we went out in his boat and put him in the ocean. So it was like, I think that probably was more of a moment of saying goodbye than me seeing his body would have been.
Yeah.
Like that moment of doing something that he liked,
Right.
His family on a boat, like, see you later, man.
That's good.
I feel like you can't do that with a body.
You shouldn't. I would advise against it.
I mean, unless you're not telling anybody that person said
right.
You did it.
Well, then you need to do it. But
then
we'll,
you should take him out.
Let's
about
talk
where
separately.
We took my dad, probably be all right.
There's Dexter. Some other things you need to do, though, and we'll discuss that some other time. But if you don't want to get caught. But, I don't know. Everyone gets cremated now, and I get it. I just always thought it's silly to make up these dead bodies. But now that everybody gets cremated, there is part of me that's like, I don't know. Maybe it is good. I just think back to those funerals. I mentioned my grandma, my uncles and aunts and all that. I don't know. It did. When I took my dad's ashes and went to that cemetery that I'd never seen before, and then they dumped the ashes in the ground and put some earth on top of it, I just thought, I have no connection to this place. And like I said, right. I don't even know that these are his ashes. I assume your dad has a headstone at a military.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you feel.
Well, he's like in a big wall.
Oh, okay. They did the wall thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do that with my dad. I assumed they would.
Well, there are some headstones. There's a bunch of headstones, but for whatever reason, he's in a wall. I guess my mom wanted him in a wall or something.
I think every cremation I'd been to so far, it was like they put it in a wall. But anyway, so there are still morticians, obviously, embalmers, and there are still people who don't want their loved ones' bodies cremated. So this embalmer is in Houston, okay? And there was a local news story, and I just have to play you this clip.
The allegations here are rare and disturbing. This embalmer is accused of stabbing this dead man twice in the groin area, then cutting off part of his private part and putting it in his mouth.
Why?
I just really wanted to play you that clip.
Why?
I really wanted to play that. Now,
why did he do that?
Well, here's the thing. Was it a he? Because the articles that I've read now says it was a she.
Hmm. And, why cut it off and put it in your mouth?
Well, they have a theory.
If you just want to put a dead dude's in your mouth, you don't got to cut it off.
The allegations here, they think they have maybe the reason that she did this. This guy was apparently not a great guy in life. He was 58
so
years
she's
old.
F-ing death?
This is my thing. I don't really understand how this makes a ton of sense.
It's very Shakespearean.
But they say this embalmer gets arrested.
Makes
and
no sense.
Charged for these allegations that she mutilated the corpse of a registered sex offender.
Yeah.
According to the Harris County Precinct. The allegations were outlined in a complaint letter from the Texas Funeral Service Commission accusing the 34-year-old Amber Paige Loudermilk. That's according to this website I'm on that I now can't see. Of mutilating the corpse with a scalpel, threatening other employees to not say anything, and alleges that she stabbed the body, mutilated his genitals with the scalpel, and it says that this guy died in a Houston hospital in January of natural causes. The alleged incident happened at this mortuary in Houston. They say this case is about two troubled people. The victim, who is a registered sex offender, and the defendant, who is accused of viciously attacking his dead body. No matter what one thinks of his life, the law requires that he be treated with dignity in death. I'm sorry, but I am failing to make the connection here of why she thought, because he's a registered sex offender, she should...
Right, that's the thing. Like, if she just stabbed him, I understand it. Like, you did bad things with this.
They won't see this part of your body.
Right, like, but then I'd also like to, gratuitously...
Yeah, I just... There's another quote here. I don't know the suspect's past.
Fellatio on you?
Yeah,
after
I don't know if
you
can
passed?
See that.
Okay.
There you go, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to fillet your dead wiener?
Necroflatio.
Yeah.
Yeah, necroflatio.
Who among us?
Yeah, come on. It says, I don't know the suspect's past, but we have the utmost empathy for anyone who has been the victim of sexual assault.
Oh, they
or
said
his family
she put it in
someone.
His mouth. Did you read it wrong?
Well, here's the thing here.
That would explain it.
Here's the thing here. And we're almost,
that's what I thought I heard, but then I thought maybe I
We're almost to the end of the story here, okay. And this is the thing here. When they did this local news story, I guess that, you know, they didn't have the identity. You heard them calling him, right? And they were saying, and that wasn't the only clip, I pulled that one because it was short, sweet, and to the point. But they were saying, and then he cut it off and put it in his mouth. Now, I don't know why. This is like that test. Is the dress blue or white, right, or whatever? When I heard that, I thought to myself that the embalmer did it, which obviously you did too.
Yeah.
Right? That was your thought. Snowcone had the thought that the embalmer put it into the dead guy's mouth. So it's almost like one of those Rorschach tests, right? What do you hear when you hear them saying this? Then they release more details. They got a lot of stuff wrong, including that it's a woman, right?
Okay.
This guy was a sex offender. They think that she did it because he was a sex offender. And in the actual affidavit or whatever, I see absolutely nothing about what she did with the genitals after she cut it. It says she mutilated them. But then that's it.
Well, so there was no fellatio afterwards.
Well, we don't know.
Or self-fellatio.
That means that this woman, and I don't know her background, like this guy said, but she becomes a local news story in Houston when the story originally is that she was mutilating a sex offender, and at least half of us, when we heard this, our Rorschach test, we thought she put the penis in her mouth, right? And it's hard for me to shake that because now that's the first story I've heard. You start putting out more details, I'm like, oh, I already heard about that. The mortician who cut it off and decided to eat it, right? Yeah. Now it's like, here's the information, here's the actual quotes, and, you know, yes, she's in trouble, but I don't see anything, any evidence that she actually put this in his mouth or her mouth. So I feel like that's a tough one to overcome, you know? She's in trouble anyway because you can't stab the body.
Okay, so if she's in trouble, doesn't that mean...
Yeah, they arrested her.
There was something.
Yeah, they said that she mutilated the body, right?
Okay. And somebody told on her?
Yeah, that's the thing. Who told? I saw something about that earlier.
Did she do it in front of people?
Yeah, she was threatening the people around her not to tell anyone, they said.
Why didn't she just wait till they left?
I thought, why are you doing this with an audience?
Right.
This is so crazy. Anyway, this guy, apparently, the dead guy, was convicted of sexually assaulting a 31-year-old woman more than 10 years ago. So there's no evidence that he was like a pedophile or anything like that. Not saying it's good. But I'm just saying, as these bodies come across her desk, so to speak, there's got to be a lot of people with troubled pasts.
Sure.
There's no way that this is the first time she's done this.
Oh.
There's no way. If you've been doing this for a while,
how many bodies do you see a day?
So many, and there's criminals.
History checks on all of them. Exactly. You're going to find something.
You're going to do a background check. This can't even be your first sex offender that you've had, right?
No, probably not.
So now, if you are the family member of a loved one who went through this woman's office, aren't you thinking, I wonder what was under that part of the coffin we couldn't see? I wonder if she stabbed and mutilated him. I wonder if she cut his junk off. It's enough for me that if it was my loved one...
You want to exhume the body?
I do.
To look at his wiener?
Someone, not me. Someone else needs to look. Because I want her punished for that. I would absolutely want her punished for that. You know, it's like when they arrest someone and they go to trial and they're getting a life sentence, but there's other victims that want that person to go to trial, maybe another state, because they want to know that she's guilty or he's guilty of their crime, too. For their loved one. Well, I want to know now. Now, my dad wasn't a registered sex offender. I want to make that clear. And also, you know, he was cremated. But if I had a loved one who went through that thing now, yeah, I want to exhume the body. I want to see what she did to it. I want to know how long this was going on. And I want to know why people become embalmers and morticians. And if it's a family business like this girl, that seems like a sweet girl that I met. Okay. But could it not also be kind of like the priesthood? Could it not also kind of draw in some odd people that are interested in the idea of being alone with the body? I don't know why this woman was doing it with other people around. Maybe she really just was mad at this guy. Maybe she knew the 31-year-old victim from over a decade ago. You know what I mean? I don't know. But this is not her first rodeo. And now the question is...
I don't want to have anybody exhumed to look at their wiener. I'm just
going
to pretend like it didn't happen and move on.
Someone else take a look.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't.
Yeah, you know, you're okay.
I'm good.
Just let it go. Man, that's definitely going to be... I've been laying in bed and thinking about it. I know, Lazo, it's logically silly. And as long as I didn't see it,
even if there is some sort of, like, you know, afterlife where their wiener's now detached because of what she did.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't either, but I'm just saying, if there is, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't reattach the wiener.
Right, right.
I can't help you in the afterlife. You're really kind of on your own on this one.
Right.
If she thinks, you know, I cut off their wiener so they can't use it in the afterlife, if that's what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I can't, if that ends up being correct.
Yeah.
then there's nothing I can do to help him.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. It's
and
illogical.
If he's a sex offender, it may be, you know, good that he doesn't have a wiener. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's something that the employees who witnessed this crime get this to the police. The police obviously file charges. The media gets a hold of it. And somehow in the early hours of this, all the media is saying, no, she's like, cut off genitals.
Right, I thought
he
did a good thing.
He cut off genitals and put it in his mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard the guy. And there's three of us in here. There's three of us in here, right? And we all heard it a different way.
Like the dress. Let me close my eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
The allegations here are rare and disturbing. This embalmer is accused of stabbing this dead man twice in the groin area, then cutting off part of his private part and putting it in his mouth.
See, it was him all
now
along.
Now that I hear it, he put it. Yeah.
Of course. And he, of course, there's only one guy in there. It's the dead guy. But when you hear that story, you go, this guy's cutting off junk and eating it. You know? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know what, Lazo?
Did they, like, send him out there?
Right? I know.
Was it an open casket and they just roll him out there? He's got his wiener in his mouth?
That's what I wondered, if they just showed.
Was that why, like, she had it like that?
And then
the other people
sews
saw
it up or something? Yeah, and now he's got that, right?
People are like, we can't send him out there like that.
But maybe she's done it before.
Yeah.
Think about that. Your grandma could have had something sewn in her mouth if she went through it. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But the whole thing is weird. And this is just it comes at a time when I was just thinking, you know what? I think I don't want to be cremated.
I don't know what sort of punctuation they should have used there, but it feels like they should have used better punctuation.
Well, it's also sexism on our part, because we assume when they don't have the name of this embalmer at first, and we hear he, we assume the embalmer is he. If you're saying someone mutilated this corpse and cut their junk off, I'm thinking it's a dude.
If they would have said he was a sex offender first,
yes,
then I would have been like, oh, I see. But they didn't. So at this point, I think whoever cut it off is the weird one.
Yeah.
So like, oh, they cut it off and put it in his mouth. Well, I'm like, well, this dude did that.
Of course.
If they would have said it was a sex offender first, I'd be like, oh, they did it there. It was just the telling of the story wasn't, you know, great.
No, and I just wanted it because it confused me, and I wanted to see if you had the same thought. So two out of three, right? Out of three of us, we thought the same thing. We couldn't be the only ones.
No, of course not.
What a thought, too.
Mm-hmm. The Church of Laszlo.
You don't know a hitman.
You don't.
It's probably my favorite Lazoism. Because, you know, the first time you said it early on when we met, then I start paying attention. It's kind of like how you say be careful of anyone who decides to be alone with kids all the time.
Yeah.
And so I start paying attention to the hitman stories, and I realize they are all almost equally ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I need you to kill my husband. It'll be $3,000. I only have $500. I'll give you $500 now.
Yeah, I'll give you my ring.
You think like guys who really, or women, who assassinate people, do it for $1,500 on layaway?
Yeah.
Now, you may be able to pay someone $1,500 and have sex with them to shoot your husband, but that's not a hitman.
No, it's just murder.
That's just a dude who's going to murder somebody, and you're all getting caught. We're talking about a hitman who flies in from Vegas, pat, pat.
Like the mob.
Right?
Like
two of the
movies.
Chest, one of the head. Nobody knows. Yeah. They do it right in the middle of the street and fly away.
Like Sammy the Bull.
Right.
You don't know Sammy.
You don't know him.
You don't know Sammy.
You don't know him. You may know a tough guy who says he's going to do it, but you don't know him.
And it's just true.
But more than likely, you're talking to an FBI agent.
Very likely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I love that Lazarism so much, because you start thinking about it. First of all, it's crazy how many people try to hire a hitman. Seems like it's a lot of women, but men do it too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people trying to hire hitmen. Yet, there's television shows dedicated to, can you believe these idiots tried to buy a hitman? And every episode, someone new gets arrested.
Right.
Yet, people still go out and say, oh, my friend said you could do a job. Because it's always, I got a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he works down at the pool hall. I'll go get him. You've never seen this guy in your life.
It's always
shows
because
up.
You told Snowcone you want somebody to kill your husband.
Yep.
And then he's like, oh, yeah. And then he gets freaked out and calls the FBI. And the FBI's like, we got it. And they send an FBI agent. And they're like, hey, Snowcone said you wanted another job. Like, it's just, come on.
Yeah. You meet this person for the first time in the car.
Yeah.
That's a cop, guys. Like, always a cop. When you say, I don't have any money, so I'll give you some of my collecting.
I'll pay you for it.
Yeah. Until I get the insurance money.
Sure that's what hitmen
no,
are like.
No hitman is not waiting for life insurance.
And he's like, you know what? I'm a professional assassin. Been a long time since I got a from an unhappy married lady in the Midwest, right? Like, I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
He's an assassin.
Yeah.
Chicks love assassins.
Who does that?
Right?
Well, the ridiculousness of what people try
come
to
come over here, yeah. Sheila. I'll do it for free.
So, when you start
show
offering
me their legs, girl.
When you start offering sex,
I'll kill them all.
You know, old computers and stuff, and then waiting for the life insurance. That is totally ridiculous, and I do get a good laugh out of it. This story involves a pseudo-celebrity, though. I don't watch the show Ghost Adventures. Does anyone watch Ghost Adventures? Is it on the Travel Channel, I think?
I'm not sure.
Looked like maybe it was on Travel. The clips I watched all had the little Travel logo on it, so I don't know if that's where it is. I don't watch any of the Ghost shows or the Sasquatch shows or anything.
Yeah.
I've seen a few clips, but I've never really watched
Travel
them.
And Discovery, yeah.
Okay. So this guy's name is Aaron Goodwin. His show's called Ghost Adventures. And his wife has been arrested and charged with solicitation to murder this guy after she tried to hire a hitman to kill him.
I don't like it. That's Ghost Adventures star Aaron Goodwin with wife Victoria. ET has confirmed she was arrested last week after allegedly hiring a hitman to kill him. In the arrest report obtained by TMZ, police say text messages prove Victoria was plotting Aaron's murder with an inmate in Florida. She's accused of setting aside more than $11,000 for the hit and even sharing his filming schedule.
I mean, wow. You have to do it for so long and go in and hope something doesn't happen, but usually it does.
That's him. So the way that they caught this gal, it sounds like, she's talking to this guy in prison. At some point, the prison confiscates his phone. And when they go through it, they find this. And she's now being held on $100,000 bail. But police say that she had set aside over $11,000 to pay someone in this plot. And when I see that you've actually got $11,000, I go, okay.
I think she paid $5,000 up front. Or she was planning,
but I don't know if the money got to him or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounded to me like that was
so
in the
text. Talking to this guy in jail.
Yeah. And she actually had this money set aside, according to the police, over $11,000. She's texting this guy. She said, he's asleep right now in a hotel room. I need to know what's going on. Can I get an update? Was it done? Like, she's asking if this prisoner has gotten in contact with this hitman. According to TMZ's report, police only found out about the plot after they got the phone, and it's unclear exactly what happened with the incident in October. However, in statements to the police, Victoria denied wanting to kill her husband, saying that she was simply fantasizing about being without her husband. That's a weird thing to say, like, no, I didn't want to kill him. I was just fantasizing about killing him, and I'd set aside over 11 grand in my bedroom, right, and told this guy I would give it to him. Most people don't have 11 grand.
The other thing is, what are you doing?
Why do you need to kill him?
But what are you doing texting someone in prison and having them telling them to commit a crime? Or you see on these shows, like, oh, we went back and listened to all the prison calls, and this is where they admitted to what they... I'm like, yeah, do you not know that they don't tape those things? Like, when I was in jail, like, I knew they taped. Like, I wasn't hiding anything, but I'm like, well, this conversation with my father is going... Someone can find it at some point,
and
right?
They tell you it's being recorded.
Yeah, this call is being recorded.
Yet on the same company's network that this guy does his show, Ghost Adventures, there's a show called Calls from the Inside. And it's just people getting found guilty because of the calls that they did in prison.
And like, he's got a cell phone. I'm like, well, it's his own personal cell phone in this. I'm like,
you think that that's not going to get confiscated?
Right, and that they won't read everything on it?
I mean, they sound like a weird couple, whatever, you know. He's a ghost hunter. They got married at Disney's Haunted Mansion. And they only got married in, like, what did it say, 2022 or something? They haven't been married that long. But according to TMZ, Goodwin says he believed he was in a happy marriage, and he was blindsided and devastated. So imagine, you know, talking earlier about emotionally immature men and all that stuff. Just imagine that he's somewhat like us. He's not too worried about her cheating.
Right.
He thinks everything's going good.
He's a ghost hunter.
And he's got this ghost hunter show. He makes enough money, or they make enough money at least, that she can set aside $11,000 in cash, which is very rare for Americans. For sure. The percentage of people that could come up with that kind of money. So they're doing all right, right? And then he finds out, hey, we arrested your wife because she was trying to kill you. What an absolute... And I know in those shows they talk to those people that were, you know, the... proposed victims.
Right.
And they say, how did you feel? And I'm always just like, I can't imagine. But a lot of times those people are like, well, you know, we were fighting. I knew she wanted that money. This is a guy who says he's in a happy marriage. They just got married at Disneyland a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. He's making good money. And then he finds out that she set aside this money to kill him. But to me, this plot is a little more evolved than that show usually is where they get in the car.
Yeah.
Yet it's still dumb as
And I know, maybe he's like, oh, no one will ever find me. He's like, he's in prison.
Yeah. The money doesn't matter. This is the proof of your point, Lazo. People will say, oh, yeah, they can't afford a hitman. They don't have enough money. These shows, they never have any money. This woman had 11 grand set aside. That's not the problem. Okay, what's the problem?
I think a hitman's more than 11 grand.
Maybe.
But more than that, the guy, I know he's got probably the cell phone. The guards don't know about it. He snuck it in somehow. But he's in prison. They'll find it. And then they'll go through all the text messages. Like, what are you doing? He's in prison.
Yeah.
So he's got like a small room to hide that in. Mm-hmm. And while they may not find it today or tomorrow or the next day, they're going to find it. And when they find it, I'm guessing, even if he wipes it, my guess is most prisons send that somewhere and say, hey, get all the text messages and everything you can off this because, you know, this dude who killed people was texting people. Like, it's not like, no.
Right.
There's no way to have that conversation.
And so this story, once again, the thing is, she has money. She has $11,000 set aside. But what's the problem here, Laszlo?
Doesn't know a hitman?
She doesn't know a hitman. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you got the money. Mm-mm. You don't know one. Laszlo's been telling you for 20-some years. Don't. You just don't.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's Sleep Awareness Week or something. I don't know, whatever. National Dream Day, too. Anyway, this company, this sleep awareness thing, they put out this list of the 12 common dreams that people have, and they asked people, you know, if you've had these. So what's the percentage of people that said they've had these? And for me, I think it's almost all of them.
Really?
Yes. So number, try to start at the bottom here. A dream where you are naked in public.
Never.
Definitely had that. Snow cone, naked in public?
I don't think so.
Really? 38% of people have. I mean, that's like a dream I've had many times.
Really?
Yeah. A dream about killing someone. Yes. 41% of people say they've had that dream.
Yeah, I think so. But never like, usually I'm running. Like, I've already done it.
Okay.
People are chasing me. You know what I mean? I don't think I've ever dreamt of me
shooting
someone. I think I'm in trouble and trying to get away.
I've had dreams where, like, there's people who've broken into my house or I'm in my parents' house or something, and they start killing people.
Right.
And I've had dreams where I die, and I've had dreams where I kill them.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on the night, I guess. But 41% of people have had a dream about killing
someone. I've never dreamt that I died.
I have, yeah. They always say that you can't. You have to wake up once you die, like if you have the falling dream.
Yeah.
I have 100% had multiple dreams where someone shoots me in the head, and then I lay there and go, so this is what death is like. It's just dark. Everything goes black. It doesn't last a real long time, but I sit there thinking, what do I do now? I'm dead. It's horrible. It puts you in a weird state of mind the whole day if you have that in the morning. A dream where you're pregnant. This one's for women. 46% of people say they've had that dream. So that sounds like most women have had that dream. A dream about your teeth falling out?
No.
No? That's a recurring one for me.
I feel like that one's really common. I don't think I've ever had it.
I just feel like I hear people talk about it in movies and on TV, but I don't think I've ever had it.
I've had it. And it's always like, it starts, I don't know what it's like for other people, but for me, it's like I go to touch my tooth and it's a little loose. And I'm like, ooh. And then I touch it a little more and it's wiggling like when I was a kid, right? And I think, well, don't touch that. And then all of a sudden it falls out. And then the other teeth I realize are loose too. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, they have all these theories about what that is. It's just weird that so many people have. About 50% of people have had that. A dream where you're dying, 56% of people have. They don't get specific about whether or not you stay to sleep when you're dead.
Right.
But 56% of people have had that dream. A dream where you're in school taking a test.
No.
No.
For sure.
Yes. And isn't it always that? You know, people say it's like, you didn't know this test was coming. Yeah, you didn't know about this test.
Yeah.
But for me, mine is even more specific. It's always that I'm back in school, and it's like I know I'm older, but I had to do something because I didn't actually graduate.
Oh,
so I have to pass this test.
Movie.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's like Billy Madison. I have to pass this test, or I'm not going to graduate, and I didn't know that test was today. It's very stressful. 56% of people. A dream where you've lost your voice and you're unable to shout for help. Almost
no.
Say, no, where you going like, oh.
No.
You never had that.
No.
Wow.
Someone on Twitch just said that they can never scream or run in their dreams.
Yeah. I mean, 60% of people say they've had this. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I haven't either.
I think one time, you know, I had that sleep apnea thing that was recording my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 years ago, I played you a clip that I heard of me because I saw a spike somewhere.
God, that was so funny.
And it was me talking in the morning, and I'm going, So I actually caught it on tape one time. A dream where you're hanging out with a celebrity. 60% of people have.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
I remember.
I mean, I can't necessarily remember right, like off the top of my head, but I feel like the answer to that is yes.
Mine was.
My head is telling me yes, we've done that, and if you sat and thought about it, you'd remember who.
Probably,
it was.
Probably hung out with Lindsay Lohan or something. Mine one that I remember early was Anna Nicole Smith, and I remember every time I saw her on TV after that, I had this sort of like, I know her. Mm-hmm. You don't get it. We're like friends. I know her.
She came to you in your dream.
Yeah. Then I started having dreams about George W. Bush that were like recurring.
Like, were they the same dreams as Anna Nicole Smith?
No.
Yeah, what was happening?
The Anna Nicole Smith one, we weren't having sex. I never really have sex dreams.
But in the George Bush ones, you were?
That's the thing. I don't ever have sex dreams. Of all these dreams, I have dreams where I feel like maybe I could find someone to have sex with, but I can never actually...
I've had sex dreams.
Have sex.
Yeah, me too.
But Bush and I weren't... But the Bush dreams happened a lot. And it turned my I didn't like Bush, you know, like I didn't vote for him, and you know I was young and like changed the world.
But now you like him.
I had these dreams and I was like, he's a nice guy. Yeah, seriously, it like changed my actual perception.
Yeah,
of
hung out with him.
It's like my brain was saying, look, you need to grow up and get over this political nonsense.
Sure. Okay.
Of your early 20s. And then I was like, oh, okay, he's a nice guy. When I see him pop up on TV still to this day, I'm like,
we're friends.
I know him, yeah.
We should hang out in my dreams.
Exactly. A dream, so 60% of people have had a celebrity dream. A dream about running late to something super important.
Yeah.
72% of people have had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can happen so many different ways, but you're trying to get there. Maybe it's the test, but it could be a meeting at work.
Yeah.
That I've had.
I don't know that I know, like I can remember having that dream. I don't know what I know that I know what I'm late for.
Okay, well, that's for
you know
sure.
I mean? Like, I'm just rushing to get somewhere. So I don't know. I guess I'm rushing to get somewhere. I don't know if I'm late or not, but.
Yeah, I've had recurring dreams about here, working with you. And sometimes the board is like we're in a different place, but sometimes we're in this studio. But it's this recurring dream where I'm trying to hit the dump button.
Dump button. I have that.
You have that? Because somebody cussed, and I'm trying to hit bleep or hit the dump button. It's like I can't reach it or it's not working. Yeah. And I've had that dream many times.
I've had work dreams.
Well, it's like when you're a server, you automatically dream about being in the weeds.
Yeah, right. And when I did music logs here, sometimes like I would have reoccurring dreams where I'm just doing computer work. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it sucks.
I worked in my sleep.
Right. It's like you close your eyes and
really did them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think just your brain is like anything repetitious like that.
Yes.
It'll pick up on it when you're sleeping. So it's not even fun. Your brain's just like, there we go again.
Yeah.
I think your brain's confused. Like, sweet Christ, are we doing this again?
Right.
Your life sucks, bro. Like,
we don't know what this is.
Are you up? Are you dead? Are you alive? Whatever. Do more music logs?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yep. We're trying to decide whether we need to keep you alive.
Start using your computer. Do that music log. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And is it like a lot of times as soon as you close your eyes at night, you know, you start seeing those?
I haven't had them
screens?
A long time, but I remember those. Yeah. Like maybe I dreamt more than normally when I was doing that job.
Yeah. I used to have like Call of Duty dreams. If I played a lot of video games, you ever have like Fortnite, you close your eyes and you just start seeing the game?
No, but yeah, maybe.
A dream where someone hurts you really bad. 75% of people said
like,
yes.
Hurt me.
Just says that they hurt you, I assume physically. Like,
okay, so no.
So, oh, really? You never get
most of my dreams, honestly, are like I've done something horribly wrong.
Okay.
Like, maybe they all start out with me drinking and getting hammered and doing drugs.
Yep.
And then it's either like, you know, run someone over, rob a liquor store. Maybe I don't even know what it is, but I'm running from the cops. It's horrible. Maybe I'm arrested and they put me in jail.
I've had the arrested dreams.
All of those things. And then I wake up and I'm really like, I'm horrified. Like,
yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, so you do get that.
Yeah, I'll be like, the cops are going to come here.
Yes.
And then I'll be like, wait, oh, man, I didn't do anything. That was a dream. Are we sure that's... Whew.
That's it.
Right. That. So I'll get those. Again. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's it.
I'll get those. That's it.
So you definitely have... Because all of these dreams that we've mentioned so far, there's, I'm sure in my life I've had one of these dreams, one of those dreams, and it's where I wake up and it's the same thing.
I like when when my brain mixes them, because I think I'm just so horny that my brain... So I've had dreams where I've done something... I don't know what it is, but horrible. The police chase me, right?
Yeah.
They arrest me, and then they put me in a cell with two hot chicks.
Oh, that's a way better ending.
Yeah, so that's happened before.
Your mind just completely mixed.
My mind's like, enough of the bad stuff.
Right.
Right.
It's just dad mode and Lazo mode coming together.
I mean, so when you...
That has absolutely happened. I'm like, what? I mean, and they weren't dressed like... They were dressed like, you know, they were... In the drunk tank or whatever, or they broke the law, but you're like, God damn.
So have you had nocturnal emission dreams?
I don't think so.
I never did either.
It'd be hard for me to say.
Never.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
People told me it's because I masturbated too much that I didn't
I
need
have
to have
like
them.
The last
Maybe when
years.
I was little, really? I don't know, but no, I think I usually wake up before it's like, you know, time for that.
See, yeah, in mine, it's
so
always like
if I'm in
close.
A jail cell and I start making out with some convict, then I usually wake up. And I'm like, well, that was weird.
And you're kind of upset that you're awake.
Well, that's the one where you're not, like, panicked.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, that didn't happen.
Right.
But, you know.
I mean, sometimes I'll close my eyes and be like, go back to sleep. You were there. Because I'm always close to her.
Yeah.
It's like she's, we got to find a place. We're always looking for a place
someone and I've been, or I'm hiding or, and I wake up. And sometimes if I'm not panicked, I'll be like, go back to sleep. I want to finish the story.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Especially but again, when I mean, that's, involved. You know, rare, you know.
Yeah.
Once a quarter,
I've had
maybe.
Within the last few
I bet
years.
You I haven't. Wow. I bet you I don't remember a dream in the last 12 months. No way.
Wow.
That's
wow.
crazy.
Yeah. And at least if I did, nothing that stands out where I'm like, oh, remember I had that dream? Nothing like that.
When you were a kid, there was no recurring nightmare?
Yeah, like I had to hide from people.
Like the same dream, though?
Like shadows, yeah. Like, okay. I remember my house is kind of like black and white. Like it almost looks like a the color of the Aha video. Like the kind of like a drawing, comic book look, feel.
Yeah.
And I've got to hide like under a desk and there's shadows that walk around. I can't really tell who those shadows are, but yeah, I would have that again and again as a kid.
That's kind of crazy because it's, I think it's extremely similar to mine because I would go out the front door of my house and all the houses were like, black, like those video games where it's a side-scrolling game and it's just black backgrounds. And everything is black, and then the sky is gray. The only light is coming from this gray sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this thing chasing me. It looked like a troll or whatever.
Huh.
And I start running from it. But it's weird that our dreams made the houses
color,
and stuff that...
But mine are like, you can see the shadows of like three people. And
yours is like cel-shaded, sort of.
Yeah, like, animated. You know, it's all like a black shadow, and they're going through the house, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure they don't come and get me under the desk. I'd have that over and over again.
And did you ever wake up and go, Mom, Dad?
I'm sure.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. My dad was probably like, go back to sleep.
Well, the most common dreams, can you guess the top two most common? It's like 90% of people that have had these.
Uh-uh.
Number two is a dream about falling is number two. And then number one, being chased. Almost 90% of people have had the dream where you're being chased. So, Lazlo, you know, if you're not dreaming, I don't know, maybe you need a sleep study or something. It's some sort of awareness week. But
maybe I don't get REM sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't get good sleep because I wake up all the time. We already know that.
Yeah.
I know that I wake up like on the hour.
Yeah.
As we go and then fall back asleep. But so I can wake up and be like, what time is it? And I'll be like, the first time that I wake up, I can be like, what time is it? And so let's just say 2:15, right?
Yeah.
If I wake up again, I'll look at my phone sometimes to see what time it is, but I know.
Yeah.
It's 3:15.
Well, okay.
It's that. I'll be like, it's 3:20. How many times I woke up once? Yeah. It's never been like where I woke up and I'm like, oh, damn, it's 11. I slept for 8 hours straight. And that never happens.
Oof.
The Church of Laszlo.
They asked women, look, what are the myths in porn that porn spreads about women? And
they asked women this?
Yes. And that you actually hate. So, you know, telling guys, hey, if you're just mimicking porn, here's some things we'd like you to stop doing. One of the most common things that women said is that they don't like sex with no kissing. There should be kissing. Mm. And they said at the minimum, there should
be... That's not what the hooker told me.
Right. That's a little different, right?
Yeah.
You get hit in the head with a phone if you do that. ShamWow guy. But the thing that really gets me is they say minimum before and after, but you should be kissing the entire time.
Mm.
Now, kissing's a weird thing. You and I were just talking about this, but like kissing someone you don't know is
right. It's
crazy.
Electric. You can feel the electricity.
Yes, it is
when
really
it's someone
something.
You're not expecting it, and they just for the first time lean in for a kiss. There's electricity there.
It's the best, man.
Like, but then after you've been with them for a while, that electricity's gone.
No, it's like reminding them that you love them after that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like giving them a shoulder rub or something, just something nice. But it's
that electricity that first time.
Totally different.
When it's unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, like making out at a bar or something. Oh, my. It really is. And you can just do that, even if that's all you do. That can linger in your brain for a while. I mean, it really is something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop there. Sorry, the next thing.
I
probably don't kiss enough during sex. Mm. So I'm probably guilty of this. The next thing that women said is when you touch them a little too roughly, their vaginas are not PlayStation controllers, they said.
Mm.
You know, you can't just be so rough. You got to be sensitive. Now, I was never taught, you know, in France, that Michael Moore movie showed those French kids in junior high at public school being taught how to please a woman. I never got that lesson. Anything I know is from porn, so I don't know how to please a woman. I'll just be up front with you. And the problem is I don't think I'm interested enough. You know what I mean? That's the big problem.
Well, like sit through a class?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and they say, don't do that, do this. And I'm like, well, you can
well,
do
to
it.
Be fair, I mean, women now are probably in their cars rolling their eyes. But no one gave you a lesson on how to please a dude.
Exactly.
And I don't see you going to college courses for it, so.
Yeah, you know what? And we don't complain about that.
Mm-mm, because it's
right.
easy.
You're right. Women will complain in Cosmopolitan or whatever.
This can be a PlayStation. I don't care what you do. Just touch it.
You're absolutely right. We don't say that.
Right.
We don't sit around and go, she just doesn't know how to do this.
You know why? It goes back to the first conversation we had. Because you're always criticizing us and we're not criticizing you.
I mean. Okay. I will say, there's one thing. I've heard guys say, like, she just laid there like a dead fish the whole time. I've heard guys say that. That's like maybe the one thing I've heard. But it's not like they're saying, I'm not going back.
Right.
You know? It just feels different. They certainly don't write about it in Men's Health.
I like it all, baby.
Yeah.
It all.
The next one I feel it goes without saying, but it involves vaginas. Again, they're like, in pornos, these guys will slap them, you know? And they're like, don't do that because it really hurts. Now, I don't even really recall seeing that in a lot of porn. It's not like they do that in every sex scene.
No.
They start slapping it. They make it seem like that's a very common thing and that guys that they hook up with are slapping their vaginas.
Yeah.
That just seems obvious, right?
I don't think that happens.
I'm not going to hit you, okay? Unless you ask me.
Are saying like the first time they sleep with dudes, that's what they're doing? They're going like...
Right.
I mean, maybe. That seems bold. Seems like a bold move.
Yeah, and just rude. You know?
Yeah.
It's rough. A very common answer, and of course we've heard this before, is sex without foreplay, which in porno, there's a lot of sex without foreplay. Now, I would argue that I feel like in porn, sometimes I'm like, there's too much foreplay.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they make out, then they. I've heard the same complaint in this thread, that in the pornos, the guy gets foreplayed on by the girl for about 10 times as long as he foreplays on her.
Yeah.
And that's a complaint. And I'm just like... These movies are made for us. You guys say you don't even like porn.
Right.
Most of the time, you know? So, I mean...
No, I'm with you.
No, your audience. I don't know. Do you think you're good at foreplay? Like, do you think you're thinking about
the
fact that...
I think I can
be. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I understand the concept of it. And I have... You know, there's, some few techniques that you hear about over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know... dinner with Dr. Drew one time, him and Adam Carolla, we had dinner in L.A., and I asked them what to do, and they were like, this, do this exactly.
Hey, this is like Seinfeld,
and
you
works.
Got the move? You got the move, and you never shared the move with me?
Yeah, Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew told me.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's more Dr. Drew.
Can't believe he's holding
but
on
Adam
to his
Carolla,
move.
But Adam Carolla, he agreed.
Just
but Dr. Drew literally told me something to do every time.
And just don't
now
tell
it's like,
me.
You want to do it? Like,
And you never share it. You've never told me.
Well, that's between me and Dr.
It's
Drew.
Just like that Seinfeld episode. He's got this move and he's not going to share it. I can think back to times when I did do good foreplay, you know. Like, I remember that day, we did this and we did this and I picked her up and we did this. But boy, it's not. It's not common. I don't think I'm very good at it, you know. Again, my problem is lack of interest.
Yeah.
That's really my biggest problem is being motivated by the things that you want, you know? I think I'm a selfish lover.
Of course you are. You guys, everybody is.
You think so? I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to say it.
Except for him. I mean, he's just all night.
I know. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
He loves pleasing women.
I do.
And that's not a bad reputation to have, you know?
Nope.
I would think that's a good
there's
reputation
never
to have.
A lack of foreplay with me.
Sometimes there's lack of intercourse.
Yeah.
Because you run out of time.
If anything.
Another thing women said that they don't like from porno is when you're I don't know how to say it, snow cone, you're being too rough, you're going too fast, I mean too rough, and you're, pounding.
Yeah.
I had a girl one time...
Trying to do the jackhammer too often.
Yeah, I had a girl one time call me a jackrabbit.
Right.
She's like, you're like a jackrabbit. I'm like, is that good or bad? And she's like, it's something. I was like, that seems bad. But she came back.
Well, you probably just have to, maybe so that your style wasn't her style, but you find someone who likes the way you do it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like,
that's
you
thing
can
I got,
be like, you know what? Yeah, we're not compatible this way. So, I liked you. We had fun, but, we're not really compatible. So, I'm going to find somebody that, it works with.
I felt like she was kind of saying it. Because she said it again later, like, oh, a little jackrabbit. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, now it's like endearing.
Why is she talking like, why is every girl you ever with talking baby talk?
It wasn't baby talk.
That's just like, you girls are like, oh, look, Frankie, that's what you just did. You go, oh, a little jackrabbit. They did it the same thing.
She would call me. She's like, look, you know, my jackrabbit.
About to do it. You almost did it right there.
Right there.
You can't even do it in like your normal voice. Like, that's what she
You're my little jackrabbit. That's what she would say.
Yep, just like that.
Little jackrabbit.
It's not the same as Frankie.
Oh, you're a little jackrabbit.
Frankie's very different.
Everything's baby talk with you. You ever have anybody complain
about
that?
It wasn't me. It was her. It was her.
Everybody ever complain about why you're talking like a baby?
I'm not going to talk like a baby unless you start it, okay? If you start it, I will finish it.
You'll dominate them with the baby talk?
Yes. You're going to get sick of it. Yeah. Another thing that was very common that all these women were complaining about is that in porn, a lot of the positions that are common are created so that the camera has a good view, and that those positions aren't actually comfortable, and it's not something that they want. So you should not be attempting, because they say a lot of men think this is what women want. Now I need to attempt to do this and put this leg here. Like, you don't need to do that. Those positions are not designed to please women. They're designed to look good on camera, which makes sense, right? The next thing is when you use your hand, and you're being too quick. You're being too fast. You're being a little,
A little too aggressive.
A little too aggressive. You got to slow down. There's a lot of that in this whole thing. Just like slow down. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know about you guys, but that seems. Well, actually, I do. I think I've heard Leza talk about it. But I think that was more of a thing for me when I was, you know, in high school and stuff. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't do it a lot.
You don't know what you're supposed to be doing at that point.
I just feel like it proves to you that I don't know what I'm doing. So I just kind of.
Like, is this it? You're kind of simulating the other thing.
Right.
Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing?
And look, ladies, I'm sorry, but it's not obvious always.
And they're too nice to tell you.
It is obvious for guys, you know? We've got this thing that indicates.
Right.
And it's pretty easy to operate, really. Like Lazo said, even if you operate it in a rough, aggressive way that's not the best, the guy's not complaining about it.
No.
Not really. Rarely. Right? No. I mean, unless you're asking for questions, you know, like, do you like this? Or would you rather I do this? Okay, maybe. But the guy's not going to care. For women, it is much more of a mystery. And women have to admit that if they were to be with another woman, it would be more of a mystery. They'll be better at it than men. I believe that a woman is probably better with a woman just instinctively than a man is. They understand a little better. But come on, it's still a mystery to you exactly what that woman has got going on. It has to be. Because women are so different. I don't feel like guys are nearly as different, are they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we say that because me and you, but I look over there. If some woman was like, well, you know, their last boyfriend was snow cone.
Yeah.
And they're like, all guys are the same, so you probably just do the same stuff he did.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know who you were dating.
Right.
But that is not, I mean, it's just right. And it wouldn't work for you either. Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, no, that's not.
Yeah.
Those can't work, so maybe.
It's such a mystery, you know. Have you guys ever gone on a porn site and looked up, like, how to please a woman?
I have.
No.
I have. Yeah. And I was just like, well, this might as well be how to be a mechanic
minutes. I thought it did wonders for me.
Really?
I actually learned a lot.
I thought this is like, you know, trying to teach a skill.
This skill.
Yeah, I know. They talk about that. But again, isn't every woman different when it comes to that?
A couple things that they all have in common.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you can find that, you're doing all right.
Women want you to know that the other myth that they really hate from porn is ATM. They're like, none of us want to do it. We're not going to do it. Don't ask us to do it.
Oh, what?
It's not happening.
Well, yeah, I know do that all the time.
I never ask someone to do that.
Doesn't he do it, though? He has to do
no.
it.
No.
No, he doesn't do that.
No.
I mean, he doesn't talk about that. I don't know. But I've never.
After you do the first part all night, you don't kiss them afterwards?
Well, you go brush your teeth.
Well, but I think they're talking.
Am I gonna love it?
No, like, you know, after.
But these women on here are talking about ATM, you know, like.
ATM. I understand. It still would be the same.
Sort of with the mouth.
I'm just not assuming that every guy does what he does.
Right, of course.
But it would still be the same thing.
Of course. Yeah. So, I mean, that just seems like a given. It's in porn. There are things, ladies, that we see in porn that we know we shouldn't just ask. A random person, you know? There are things that are in porn that the only way it's ever going to happen for us is if you say that's what you're into. We're not going to try everything in porn.
I listen to this guy, and we're going to interview him on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
This guy's been studying porno for years, and I heard him on a podcast. One of the things he said was he didn't mention any of these things, which was interesting. The one that he said was the big one was choking.
Yeah.
That every porno has choking.
Yeah.
And, like, so guys just think they're supposed to do it, and girls think, like, they're supposed to like it, and it really makes for this uncomfortable situation. He said if you do the study, you find out that guys are like, I'm not really all that comfortable with it.
I'm not at all.
But I just assume that's what she wanted. Then she'll be like, well, I'm not all that comfortable with it, but I just assumed he wanted it. We don't talk about it because we see it so often that the other person is really just doing it because they think the other person likes it. But ladies, let me tell you right now, I f***ing love it. Love it. Both ways. Choke me, I'll choke you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Choking. All in.
I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. You thought of that?
No, I'm the exact opposite. I'm not.
Have you guys? I never.
Because I figured maybe this person wants me to, and people could ask or whatever. But I'm always like, I just feel like I go a little bit too loose. Like I'm just not.
Yeah.
Wait, I've never done it without someone asking me to do it.
I think you kind of.
I've never done that.
But no, just slide your hand up there and see how they react.
I've never done it without being asked.
Over and over, slowly. You'll know. They'll let you know. They don't have to say I like that for you to know that they want you to put your hand around their neck.
Well, I guess I'm too timid, because I've never... But I have had people ask, and actually, I had someone that asked, right? She asked me to, so I would do it. And like you, Stokoe, I'm like, I'm very nervous about doing this. I've heard stories.
It's not going to be good, anyways.
And then after sex, she would cry. And I would say, why are you crying? And she said, because you did that. I'm like, you asked me to. She goes, I know, it's okay.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That's fine.
And I was like, well, what the? And she continued to ask me to do it.
No.
And any time that I did it, she would cry afterwards.
She's crying. What are you
going to do?
Tell those people that I did it without you asking
me? No, she wanted you to.
Oh, my God. You know,
of course. You don't want that, Evan, but, you know, she wanted you to.
She told me she was
going through some sort of trauma.
Yeah, but girls, if things happen that they want to do,
she likes it. Whatever, there's plenty of girls who cry after sex.
Eventually she stopped. Eventually
a girl cry after sex?
No.
Cry during sex?
No.
This was my first one.
I know, you lost your virginity during that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of our celebrity friends lost his virginity that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Same thing. I think this was the only time it happened to me, Snow Cone, and yet she continued to ask, I continued to do it, and she seemed to work through that trauma.
I've had women cry because of trauma. I've also had them cry because they're so happy.
What?
I'm like, yo, what are you crying about? And they're like, oh, this is so, I'm happy.
I've never had that.
Definitely has not happened.
No way.
Church of
Laszlo. Yo! What's up?
We're done, my man. That's it. That's a wrap.
Oh, good.
Hope you learned something. I feel like I did. I learned a lot. So I guess it's mostly stuff I knew already. Snow Cone is
I like this Spaluzzi chick on our Twitch.
We just don't know for sure. Is it a girl for sure?
At this point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, just once I get it in my head, really.
One of those secret girls.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's going to happen, so at this point, Spaluzzi's going to be a woman to me who likes to, you know.
Yeah.
Smacked around a little bit.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You know, once I got catfish that time, and once I found out I was catfish, it's like, I don't care. I'm going to go back to believing. Seriously. Like, I got pictures of this other person. I'm going to believe that's you. Let's keep talking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've got an image in my mind, so here we are. Like, whatever you change it to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, she's something. She's been saying some good stuff. So. Yeah.
I'm into it. Anyways, good show. Paluzzi. Stay positive, kids.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.